Hi, everyone, and welcome to One Question with Pastor Adam. And I am Adam, and I am pastor to believers and doubters, to unfaithful Christians and to faithful atheists. And friends, Jesus was not afraid of questions, and neither are we here on One Question with Pastor Adam. So each week on Thursdays, I am going to be exploring with you a question that you have sent me over on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram, either on the Raven Foundation pages, the Clackamas United Church of Christ pages, or on my personal pages. And did you know that God is proud of all their children?
Yeah, I'm just trying to suck in my gut because you don't see the COVID fat.
Do you have any COVID fat? No, don't answer that question. You don't have to answer. That is not a good question. Here at One Question with Pastor Adam, I've gotten a few questions over email and over social media about the election. And if you are like me, you're having a hard time. And if you are like Al, you are having a hard time too. Al sent me a message, but before I get to Al, I'm going to get to Katie, who says, nice shirt. Thank you, Katie. I love this shirt. It was a fundraiser for another church up in Seattle that was doing these fantastic shirts. And if you Google God is proud of all their children, I'm sure you can find it and purchase the shirt. It's awesome. I love it. Even rainbow. You know, I love the rainbow. So if you are like me and you are like Al, you are really struggling with the election, not just because we're still in kind of this limbo land. It seems to be moving in a direction that I'm happy with. Maybe you're happy with. I don't know. But it seems to be moving in a direction, but we're still in this limbo place. But that's not what I'm talking about. And it's not what Al is talking about. Al is asking a question that I think a lot of us are asking, which is, how could my brothers vote like that? How could my brothers make that vote? Al says here, I printed off Al's email because, he says, I just can't get my head around how people of faith could vote for that specific candidate. I can't use the candidate's names on this video. How can this election be so close? It should be a groundwell of support for this other candidate. And that was like the big disappointment for me, and maybe it was the big disappointment for you too, is that I thought that this would be a repudiation of a certain number of the last few years. I thought that this would be finally the United States standing up and saying, this is not who we are. And Al's message and what I'm feeling is, actually, this is who we are. Maybe this is who we have always been. And this is a time for us to look at the ugliness, the polarity that has always been within our nation, the ugliness that has always been within me. I love Al. He's a beautiful man. I'm not going to say the ugliness that has been within Al, but the ugliness that has been within all of us. I'm infected by it too. But before we get into that, Al continues. He says, yet they still support this man, and I just don't get it. They support him even though they may say, yes, he's morally bankrupt. Yes, we hate his tweets, but we have to adhere to our political agenda. Is that what this is just about? I'm sure that there are other agonizing over this as well. Al, I'm over agonizing over this. So many of us are agonizing over this. Al says, I feel terrible. This is where it hits home for me. Al says, I feel terrible that this has created such a rift with my brothers. I can't speak to them. I can't reach out and say, I love you guys, even though we see things differently. I just can't. It's too much. And then Al says, well, I feel better now, getting that off my chest. if you need to get this kind of stuff off your chest, you can put it in the chat section and we can all commiserate. But Al says, now that I've laid it on you, tell me the answer. And then Al says there is no answer, which I'm glad, because I'm struggling with this too. I'm struggling really, really hard with this. And I don't know what the answer is, because we didn't get the repudiation that I was hoping for. In fact, I was thinking, along with a lot of people in the media that I was watching, that said candidate was only going after that candidate's base, not expanding the base, but just going after that base and trying to get them really enthusiastic to vote for him. And yet it seems as though the base expanded. I'm struggling to find words for this. It's tough. And it's also, as Al says, the thing that's hardest for me is that people I am close to, people that I love, people that I grew up with, people that I are in my family, have voted for this person despite the tweets, saying that this election was going to be rigged if he was going to lose before the election even started. If I lose, it's because the only way I can lose is because they cheat. And now we are seeing that coming in, that political strategy coming in. Now we're seeing in this attack on the votes, the voting is fraudulent. This is all like, it feels like it's a wounded cat and you try to pick it up and the cat just like, tries to get you, right? It was a wounded cat. He's losing. He's trying to do the best, whatever he can to hold on to power. And we knew this was going to happen. We knew that this is what this guy is like. So how, I'm asking, I'm wondering how, why would anybody vote for him? Is it identity? It might just be identity. I've always been a part of this political party. I've always voted this way. This is how I'm going to vote. It could also be that people like me and how I identify politically have failed. Maybe that's what I should be focused on. How has my party, how have I failed to get the message across that we care about those people who voted for that particular candidate? How can we get the message across in a way that inspires more and more people to vote for what I think is better? What I think is at least a better option, right? And maybe that's what this is calling us towards. You know, Christianity has a bad name for many of us for a good reason. And I think that a lot of people, gosh, I'm struggling with the words right now. I'm just really struggling. This is hard. I think what we need is a transformation of our political parties. I think that what we need is a transformation of Christianity. I think that Christianity for too long and our political parties for too long have followed in this direction. And I'm not both sidesing this. So if you think I'm both sidesing this, I don't mean to do that, because I think that one side is doing this far more than the other. That's why. But all of our systems in the United States need to be transformed. Our religious systems, our political systems, I need to be transformed so that I am ever growing to be more and more loving and more compassionate towards those that I call my enemies. I have a dear friend named Stephen McKenna. And Stephen McKenna is on Facebook. And before I came on here, I just went on Facebook for like the first time in days, because I've been trying not to go on social media during all of this stuff. the election, because it just, it's just, for me, it's toxic. And for many of you, I know it's not. And I thank God for that. But Stephen McKenna said that Jesus calls us to love our enemies as we love ourselves. And what Jesus meant in part of that, Stephen says, and I think he's exactly right, is don't imitate your enemy's hatred, anger. Don't imitate it. If you can, seek to transform it. Don't let that spirit of hostility infect you. But rather, seek to enter into the world so that your spirit of love and compassion might infect others. Because that's what the world needs. Now, please don't misunderstand what I'm saying. Because Jesus was not a doormat, right? Jesus fought. Jesus struggled as hard as he could to bring more justice into the world. Jesus struggled when he went to the temple and said, I'm going to abolish this thing. I'm going to shut this thing down. It's going to be destroyed. And in 3 days, it's going to be resurrected in a way that you never saw coming. And so sometimes, as we are loving our neighbors, who includes our enemies, we fight and struggle against the powers and principalities, the systems that lead to injustice in our world. And friends, no matter who wins this election, that struggle continues. If Trump wins, that struggle continues. If Biden wins, you know that struggle is going to continue too, right? So getting rid of one candidate is not going to solve all the problems that we have in the United States. In some ways, my vote this year was based on who I would rather protest against more. Which president would I would rather protest against more? I don't want to have a president who tear gasses me while I'm out in the streets of Portland. I don't want a president who's going to tear gas people near a church so that he can get a photo op with a Bible. I think one candidate isn't going to do that kind of BS. And I would rather protest that president. So there's work to do. There's always going to be work to do. But how, and Al, this is where we're coming into family relationships too, where the rubber hits the road. How can we continue to love not only our neighbors, not only strangers or our enemies, but our own siblings, our own parents who have made this decision? That's what really gets to me. And so Al says, I can't reach out and say, I love you guys, even though we see things differently. I just can't. It's too much. And I feel the same. I feel very similar to that. But I wonder if that is our growth opportunity. I wonder if the very thing that is the hardest thing for us to do is the thing that is what we're called to do. The thing that's like, the thing that this would be a courageous act for me to call up my family member and say, we see things differently, but I love you. And maybe the movement forward is to find something with our brothers, our parents, our children, siblings, to find something that, I was going to say unites us, but some foundational thing that we share in common, whether it's just talking about stories that we've had in the past. Thanksgiving's coming up, and maybe you're going to be with your families. Maybe because of COVID, you're not going to be with your families. If you're wear a mask, do what you can do. But maybe it's calling them up and saying, hey, remember that one time back when we were kids and we had this really great experience? Can we talk about that? and maybe you don't talk about politics for a while. Maybe, or if you do talk about politics, maybe it's, you know, I'm just really struggling understanding how you get to this point, and I'm just curious, what is it that gets you there? What is it that makes you vote for this guy? What do you like about him? And the answers might drive you up the wall. You might hate the answers, but at least you've had that conversation. And I'm constantly trying to remind myself that there's more to my family member than the way that my family member votes. There's more to them. And that's part of the polarization that we've come to in our culture, is that we identify people solely with their political party or solely with who they voted for. And as I'm saying this, I want to repeat again that I am not saying don't struggle. Don't struggle for the fight for a better, more just, more compassionate, more loving world, especially for our LGBTQ siblings, our Black and Brown siblings. Don't stop that struggle. And there are people who are getting in the way of that struggle. And how can we have conversations with them while also realizing that none of us are the worst things that we have ever done, and none of us are the worst things that we continue to do, and we still fight the struggle for justice for all people. So I'm rambling, and I know that there are people who are making comments. Al, I wish I had a better answer. I'm going to keep thinking of this. I think this is a time for me to see how I possibly have failed, how my political party that I identify with has failed to reach out to people who we need to reach out to, clearly. So I'm going to go over some of these question or comments. Boy, Al, you really hit one. Jody says, yes, it was supposed to be a landslide. Yeah, Jody, it's who we've always been. I mean, you look at, that's one of the things that I love about progressive Christianity, is that it's not afraid to look at the ugliness within ourselves, that's not afraid to be self-critical. It knows that, like I have some family members who are just like, rah, rah, United States, yay, aren't we the greatest thing ever? And that turns a blind eye to all of the racism of our past and of our present, and pretends that it doesn't exist. It just moves over them. Well, as a white person, congratulations. But for our Black and Brown siblings, that does no good at all. So this is who we've always been. And if we're serious about creating a more perfect union, then we have to look at the ways in which our union in the past and in the present is not perfect, so that we can move towards a better union. So, Jody, thank you for that. Shelby says, disappointing for me too. It's hard for me to look at close family and friends the same. That it's just so hard. I'm just here to say that's hard. It is hard. Rhythm says, messing with my marriage big time. Rhythm, I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to pray for you and for your spouse. And this is really hard, and especially when spouses are on different wavelengths on this. So Rhythm, I'm going to lift you up in prayer. I'm going to lift your spouse up in prayer. So Rhythm, I'm just going to do that right now. This may be a little awkward, but Rhythm, I'm going to pray for you now, and then I'm going to go through the other comments too. So Holy Spirit, gracious God, we come before you lifting up our dear sibling Rhythm to you, Rhythm and Rhythm's spouse. These are such difficult times for all of us, but especially for those of us who are living with a spouse who sees things so differently. And so we lift up Rhythm and Rhythm's spouse during this time. We pray for some understanding, reconciliation where there is conflict, and healing where there is brokenness. And we give you thanks for Rhythm's life, for her relationship. And we ask that you be with Rhythm now and forevermore. Amen. I'm with you, Rhythm. Sherry says, I lose. If they lose, if I lose, they cheat. It will. If I will, it's all good. If I win, it's all good. He needed men. Yeah. That's the message. And it's so anti-democratic. It's so anti what I hope is anti-American, although that thread of fascism runs through America too. And it's something that we have to fight against. So they know we care. They call us bleeding hearts. Yeah, Rhythm. Yeah. Keep that heart bleeding. We need more of that. Sherry says we have to continue to go high when they go low, but it's sad when we watch hate and going low getting ahead. Yeah, Sherry, this is one of the things that I am struggling with. I think you're exactly right. I often think that one political party knows how to fight and the other political party knows how to give up. How do you struggle? How do you stay in the struggle? How do you, like one person who won again, Senate, he may continue to be the Senate leader during this time, during the next 4 years, is known as the Grim Reaper. Death to all things that the other party wants to do. That's not cool. That's bad. That's awful. They know how to fight. How do we continue to keep our souls when we're in these kinds of political engagements and in these kinds of political struggles? How do we continue to go high when they go low? How do we inspire them to try to go a little higher at the same time when it feels like we're bringing a butter knife and they've got all the guns because they're huge Second Amendment people, right? I don't mean to joke about it, but that's often what it feels like. And let's keep going high, but let's stay in the struggle, because our LGBTQ and our Black and Brown siblings and those of us who need healthcare. I just got a message from a pastor friend who said that his husband is going to struggle with his medication because they're afraid that it's going to be taken away from him. And that's a real thing. And how do we stay in the struggle and make sure that we're fighting for what's worth fighting for while going high at the same time? That's a tough one, but that's the right way to look at it. Don't let the spirit of hostility infect you. Stephen McKenna. Ari, thank you for that. Carol says, my nuclear family is mixed. My sister is from Boise, and she said she didn't care what happened to anybody but her own, referring to white. Yeah, I have to take care of my own. I think she is racist, but beyond that, she's living in fear. May God heal their hearts. Carol, I think this is where our messaging could be better, because I think we have to find ways in order to convince our white siblings that what is good for our Black and Brown siblings is also good for our white siblings. What is, and here's part of what I mean by that. When we talk about police brutality, the message has to continue to be that yes, our Black and Brown siblings get brutalized, killed, murdered by police at 3 times the rate as white people. And white people also suffer from police brutality, not nearly at the same rate as Black people do, but we need to stop police brutality. And if we stop police brutality, that's going to help our Black and Brown siblings that suffer from it at 3 times the rate, but it's also going to help our white siblings as well. When it comes to the economy, helping our Black siblings with a better economy, with getting rid of the racist structures that continue to affect our economy is going to help our white siblings as well, because you're going to get rid of systems that also keep down our poor white siblings too. So how do we keep the particularity of the racist systems that continue to infect the United States? And how can we message that getting rid of those systems are going to help our black and brown siblings, but they're also going to help our white siblings who suffer from many of the same issues as well? Our justice system does care about what color you are, because it is 3 times worse for our black and brown siblings, but it's also bad for our white siblings too. So I think that's part of, I'm still trying to figure this out. And I don't know if that's making sense or not, or if I should just shut up about this right now. But what's good for, it's all connected. I think that's what I'm trying to say. All of these things, it's part of what racism tries to teach white people like myself, is that if what's good for black people is going to be bad for you. So this is why I'm responding to Carol's comment, in trying to do it in some amount of depth right now, is that that's a lie. What's good for our black and brown siblings is good for our white siblings too, because it's all connected. It's all connected. Ashley says upside down Bible. Yeah, we've missed a lot of what is important in the Bible by turning it upside down. Jesus says the whole point of this thing, people come to Jesus and say, hey, what's the greatest commandment? And notice what Jesus does not say. He does not say, how dare you ask that question? Because all of the commandments are equal. They are all God-given, right? He doesn't say that. He says the greatest commandments are to love God and to love your neighbor. And the way that you love your neighbor is, the way that you love God is by loving your neighbor. They're connected, right? So on the human level, we're connected. And what connects us from the Christian point of view, it's the Spirit of God that's within all of us. We lift up one, we lift up all of us, because we're all connected. Let's see. Oh, Ari says, my parents chose Trump over me. I am now an orphan, their choice. Oh, Ari. Oh, that's heartbreaking. Ari then says, but I know they are operating out of hate, systemic racism, and propagandized fear. I don't know about you, Ari, but I wish that we could just shut down Fox News. Can we just shut it down? Because it's just fear-mongering stuff. So, Ari, I'm with you. It's hard. It's hard. Aaron says, my mother still thinks they're equally bad. I'm not thrilled about Biden, but 45 has committed many atrocities. I don't know how she voted. I'm scared to ask. Yeah, I'm not, I'm with you on that one, Aaron. Yeah, Sherry says, Ari, I'm sorry. Ari, I'm feeling you. Yeah. Hanging on by a thread. Relationships with family were tense way before now. This was just the final nail. Yep, Georgia, I'm with you. Tina says, it isn't the differences in a point of view, it is the nasty attitude I can't get around. It is. That is a good point, Tina. We can have our differences, but it's the hostility behind it. And I think that's where the point that Jesus comes in. I am often tempted to mirror the hostility that I see. I don't intentionally do it, but it can just infect me, which is why I think I've been trying to stay off of Facebook and Twitter for the last couple of days, because I'm having a hard time controlling my own emotions these days. And I think that's one of the keys is I can't control what I was about to say, my family, my specific family member. I can't control how my family members vote, or how they are responding or what they're feeling. It's the old cliche. I can only control myself, and I can't do that very well these days. So I'm trying to stay off Facebook and as best I can, and not be infected by the hatred and animosity that I experience, that I'm feeling, because I don't want to keep that in circulation. I want to stop that. So Joanne says, I can't listen to this right now because I am a childcare provider, but I would love to later. Yeah, Joanne, this will be on the Raven Cat. This will be, yeah, it'll be here. So you can come back. Brenda says, a lot of Christian people vote for him strictly because he's pro-life. This, Al put this in his comment. So Brenda, I'm glad that you put it. I'll keep reading what you're saying, Brenda. I ask over and over for specific examples of steps he's taken to show he's pro-life, and there are crickets. I try to show all the evidence that Democrats actually reduce the numbers of abortions, and they refuse to even consider this. I don't know how to help these one issue voters. It's a struggle. It's also a struggle because, well, I mean, like they'll say, Supreme Court, they're not, I don't know. What gets me and, is if we were really pro-life, we would be pro universal healthcare. We would make sure that homeless people were not houseless. We would house people. You know, children are homeless at a really high rate, especially here in the Portland area. Children are some of, I think it's like 50% of houseless folks are children. If we're really pro-life, can we work together to solve those pro-life issues? Children are starving. Can we work together if we're really pro-life? I don't want children to be living out in the streets. I want them to have have a stable home. I don't want anybody living out in the streets because I think that is pro-life. I also think that it's pro-life to be anti-war. So if we're really going to be serious about pro-life measures, why don't we work on those issues together? Can we do that? Is there room for us to find ways to be on the same page as some of our political opponents? I don't know, because sometimes I think that this whole pro-life music movement is just hypocritical. Like a lot of people say, it's not a pro-life movement, it's a pro-birth movement. And after they're birthed, well, you're on your own. And if that's the case, I got nothing. If that's the case, then I'm going to have to try to find another way to communicate that if you really want to be pro-life, then we need to work in these directions too. I also, Brenda, I'm with you. Like under Democrats, abortion rates go down because they're reduced, as you say, because better contraception, all of these other things. So thank you for that, Brenda. Anita says, my heart goes out to anybody dealing with this. My son, my firstborn, is a Trump supporter. This breaks my heart, but he's an adult and he gets to choose. My granddaughter is 15 and becoming very aware of her world at this point, and we talk about this frequently. She loves her parents, but she can't believe they would support someone so offensive. It's very confusing to her. Anita, I just want to lift you up and say that I am so glad, so grateful that your granddaughter has a grandmother that she can go to and have these kinds of conversations with. So thank you for being present in your granddaughter's life and being a mentor to her, being somebody that she can talk to. That is crucially important. And thank you for being that for your granddaughter. Jessica says, it's really hard to even be around my father right now. Yeah. Hate for LGBTQ plus people, hate for our black and brown siblings. It breaks my heart. He is totally different person now than when I was young. He breaks my heart. Oh. Totally different person now. Jessica. Oh. I just want my dad to have love in his heart again. Please pray for him. Jessica, I'm going to pray for your dad right now. I'm going to pray for you too. Holy One, gracious God, I bring before you Jessica and her father. Her father, who has had such love in his heart, and Jessica is asking, where has that love gone? Where is that love now? I pray that you be with Jessica's father. Help him to know that he is loved. Help him to know that whatever is happening in his life, whatever happening in our world, that he does not have to live in fear, that your perfect love casts out fear, that your perfect love means that we do not have to fear one another. Your perfect love means that we can absorb that love into our lives and share it with others, and it's going to be okay. In fact, it's going to be far better than it was before. So I just pray for Jessica and for her dad. Amen. Anita says, I am reminded, my granddaughter, she has only 3 years until she's a legal adult. She takes after my side of the family more anyway. I told her to let her hippie flag fly. Nicely done, Anita. Ari says, and shut down QAnon, please, please, please. QAnon. Ashley, QAnon spreads should be illegal. Yes. Oh, my goodness. Kim says, may Christ be with you all. Kim, may Christ be with you too. There's a huge difference between pro-life and anti-abortion. Thank you for that. Kim. Eric says, maybe lots of people are not voting for Trump as such, but are voting against an elite they perceive to be patronizing. This, Eric, is getting at what I think is what we need to, those who are, that I identify with, need to get our messaging better. It often comes across as patronizing, I think. And this is an opportunity for us to look within our souls. So Eric, thank you for bringing this up. Maybe some people are not that extremely conservative at all, but have the feeling that they cannot utter the slightest non-progressive stance without being labeled as a demon by dominant culture American voices. That could be, of course, it is all a matter of perception. What is elites for some referring to? Are those dominant voices really dominant, etc.? It has an eye-opener for me when I realized that to some people, I represented the kind of obstacle that made people feel ashamed about some of their conservative viewpoints in a way that ultimately radicalized their position. Of course, I'm speaking from a European point of view, but the political dynamics in the States are recognizable here as well. Some people might not so much vote for Trump as they are voting against siblings and friends they find themselves in a power struggle with. Just some thoughts. It is heartbreaking what's happening. And Eric is a dear friend of mine from Europe. Eric and I go to conferences frequently. Eric, thank you for that, my friend. And I know that Eric has been in this struggle in Europe too. There are similar forces happening in Europe and where Eric lives as well. And Eric gets to much of the heart that I think that this is a moment for us, all of us, to look at ourselves. No matter who wins, this is somewhat of a failure. Because I thought that it would be so much a bigger victory. And the other side will probably feel like they failed too. So how can we use this as an opportunity to look within ourselves, the ugliness within ourselves, the ways that we patronize one another, the ways that we demonize one another, as Eric says, and seek to stop that hostility from being circulated. I have a role to play in that. Maybe we all do. So anyway, friends, this was clearly something that I needed to talk about. Al, thank you for the question. Thank you, everybody, for your comments. This is a tough one, and we're going to be struggling with it for weeks, months to come. Thank you for joining the conversation, and invite you to join me again next week. One question with Pastor Adam, Thursday at 12 o'clock Pacific, 2 o'clock Central. And if you have questions or comments, you can feel free to message me on the Raven Foundation, the Clackamas United Church of Christ pages, or my personal pages. And Lynn, thank you, Lynn. Thank you for your comment. Thank you. So until next week, friends, boy, what is going to happen between now and next week? Keep praying. And friends, may God be with you. And until then, grace and peace be with you too. Take care.